This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are off and running on a New Year's Day. Alongside Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray. Finishing touches being put on the Alabama Crimson Tide by the Indiana Hoosiers. Matt Eumanns, you were all over it. The Indiana Hoosiers were a touchdown favorite. And boy, sometimes you wish you bet more. Indiana has dismantled the Alabama Crimson Tide. Welcome to 2026, ladies and gentlemen. The Indiana Hoosiers are going to be winning their first bowl game since 1992. They had a graphic during the broadcast, Matt. Since 1992, Alabama's won seven national championships and Indiana's won zero bowl games. Well, in 2026, it is 1-0 Indiana. 38-3, absolute demolition by Kirk Cignetti and the Indiana Hoosiers.
Yeah, the history of Indiana and Alabama programs means nothing when those two teams step on the field today. And if you're handicapping games like this, thinking about history, you're thinking about things the wrong way. And you see Alabama plus 7 against Indiana, or 7.5. That's fool's gold. And if you bet it, you probably feel like a big fool. Right now, 38-3. Hoosiers on top. Could be a little bit worse. I'm not that surprised that Indiana is. I said Indiana was probably going to win by double digits, and I expected that. I'm always paranoid about laying points in games because things can go wrong, obviously. And actually, Indiana did not start out this game all that well. But Alabama's outclassed here by Indiana. And think about making that sort of statement 3 years ago. Alabama is being outclassed by Indiana. Kurt Cignetti is doing the best coaching job in the history of college football. I asked Brent Musburger when he was on the show with me, was it 2 weeks ago on a Friday night? I said, is the job Kurt Cignetti doing at Indiana the best you've ever seen in college football? Without hesitation, he said yes. You know, and this is an exclamation point behind that statement, Tim. A 35-point lead against Alabama in the fourth quarter, and the Tide are embarrassed. Congrats to Wes Reynolds of VSiN, yes, who's waited a lifetime for a game like this. He's out in Pasadena today, and he's going to be happy as hell on the way back because I know he expected a win. I texted him with him this morning. I know he expected Indiana to pull away and win this game today, but I'm sure he didn't expect 38-3. Even if you expected a blowout, you did not expect Alabama to be held to 3 points. Ty Simpson fumbles. He's sacked on 4th and 4, and Indiana's going to get the ball back with 5:40 to go. And, Tim, this is embarrassing for Alabama.
That was actually Austin Mack. Austin Mack came in at halftime.
Oh, yeah, Ty Simpson got pulled. Yep. That was a backup quarterback. How bad is it that Ty Simpson had to get pulled from this game, too?
November 25th, 2023, Matt. Indiana lost to Purdue 35-31.
I was here in the circuit book watching it, yeah.
Brendan Sorsby, now arguably the most sought-after commodity in the transfer portal, was the quarterback for Indiana that day, the final game of the Tom Allen tenure in Bloomington. And they made the decision to go down to Harrisonburg, Virginia, and bring Kirk Cignetti, the braggadocious Kirk Cignetti, to Bloomington. And this is the greatest turnaround in the history of sports. I don't think that's hyperbolic. This is the doormat. You know this conference better than anybody, Matt. Indiana was the laughingstock of the Big Ten and arguably the laughingstock of power college football. Oh, yeah. You're playing Indiana? You'll win that game. Mm-hmm. And now, Matt, they've lost 2 games in 2 years. As you've pointed out a number of times, those 2 losses at Ohio State and at Notre Dame a year ago, the 2 teams that played for the national championship, they are about to be 14-0. Mm-hmm. They are Big Ten champions. They have the Heisman Trophy winner, and they are headed to the college football playoff semifinals where they will get a rematch against a team they already beat in Oregon, and they will play that game in Atlanta, Georgia next week. This has been a thorough ass-whooping, And we could talk about Alabama and whether or not they deserve to be here and if the SEC is overrated. We'll get to that. But I think the important thing is to point out that Indiana has been absolutely dominant and the market underrated them heading into this game. And you were all over it. Laid the 7, and Indiana had a comfortable win. And there's no fluke about this, Matt. They were flying around. They were hitting hard. I was talking to a couple people in the sports book. Our buddy Steve Bookatz from Nahoku, he's here. And something that we talked about, the fundamental just soundness of this Indiana team. You know, there was a fourth down in which Alabama brought out the punt team. Ty Simpson was the personal protector. He comes up, hut, hut, hut. Never. And you see Cignetti almost crack a smile on the side. They're not going to fall for that junk. I mean, that's just so impressive about this Cignetti program.
Well, it's a well-coached team, well-prepared team. And that's what I expected today. You give Kurt Cignetti time to prepare, and I thought he was going to dissect Alabama. And now things can go wrong, obviously, and they did not. So very disciplined team, very efficient in the execution. And that's why I've made this comment many times since last year, that Kurt Cignetti is the next Nick Saban. You know, when you go back to 2007 when he was on Saban's original staff at Alabama, and he learned so much from Nick Saban, the way he coaches his team, the way he talks, he reminds me so much of Saban. And I was not going to bet against him today. And I think a lot of people probably learned the lesson the hard way. Those who bet Alabama today, don't bet against Kurt Cignetti. Actually, you know what was funny here too? Kalen DeBoer settled for a field goal. It was 24-3, and it should have been questioned more. Why is he kicking a field goal here? You need 3 touchdowns, 3 2-point conversions.
Yep.
When you're down 24,
shut out, Matt.
He kicked the field goal because he knew they couldn't get it, and he was trying to avoid the shutout.
Yeah,
that's it. The Alabama coach just surrendering, avoiding the shutout with a field goal in the fourth quarter against Indiana.
You think Kalen DeBoer?
I think Kalen
DeBoer thinking twice about not taking those calls from Michigan.
Well, that's, you know, I think he was going to have 1 foot out the door and was headed to Michigan if Alabama lost that playoff game at Oklahoma.
I totally agree.
Now he stays. Michigan hires Kyle Whittingham. Kalen DeBoer is not going to be at Alabama much longer. You think this loss is going to sit well with that fan base?
No.
38-3, and that's why
the losses last year didn't sit well with them, Matt. They open up the season 2 touchdown favorites. They lose.
Humiliating.
Think about how this year went for Alabama. You open up the season on the road at Florida State as a 2 touchdown favorite. Now I know the committee forgot this game ever existed.
Right.
They lost by 2 touchdowns to a Florida State team who finished what? They won the ACC, right, Matt?
Tim, they did not.
Oh, they went 5-7 and missed the bowl.
Actually, Miami did not win the ACC either.
That is true. Maybe the ACC is better than we than we give it credit for. They lose the SEC championship in embarrassing fashion. They were held to less than 100 yards through 44 minutes and 50 seconds. They go on the road to Oklahoma, a team that we discussed had no semblance of an offense. Very good defense. Down 17-0. Able to battle back, get a big pick six late in that game, and they have gotten thoroughly and utterly embarrassed at the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. They're about to lose by 5 touchdowns to Indiana. Best team in college football. I mean, I think from a power rating standpoint, now that Ohio State is gone, we'll see what Georgia does tonight, and we'll certainly get to that. But, Matt, the best team in college football remaining is playing football right now in Pasadena, California.
Well, that was probably true last week, too. But just the power ratings had Ohio State higher, and even though Indiana had defeated Ohio State, I think you're not going to adjust the power ratings too much, and the Buckeyes, defending national champs, probably deserve that respect, but they had it taken to them last night by the Hurricanes, and Buckeyes are out. Now Indiana is the strongest team left standing. That does not mean the Hoosiers are going to run through the rest of this bracket, Tim. It's, you know, we see upsets all the time, and as much as we're touting Kurt Cignetti, praising and touting Cignetti right now, it's going to be tough to win a rematch with Oregon. It's going to be tough to run the rest of the way through this bracket.
We do have a look-ahead line up at FanDuel. You want to take a guess?
Yeah, I guess Indiana 3.
4.5.
Ah, come on. I don't know if that should be 4.5.
Total 47.5.
It's tough to win a rematch, especially against a really good coaching staff like Oregon. By the way, Alabama is being dissected and taken apart today. I think this Alabama coaching staff's rather weak, Tim. Oregon has an extremely strong coaching staff. Oregon's already seen Indiana once. It's going to be tough for the Hoosiers to beat the Ducks twice.
At defense today, I know Texas Tech, I think you could certainly question the strength of the Big 12 after the performance we saw from that Texas Tech offense. The defense for Texas Tech did all they could possibly do. I mean, that defense is real, but the offense was an embarrassment. I mean, we can dive into that game a little bit more, but the quarterback play for Texas Tech was an absolute joke. I mean, that was horrible. Baron Morton was a nightmare.
You asked me, which quarterback do you trust more? And I said, no, just by default, Dante Moore.
Yeah.
You know, I just didn't really trust Baron Morton. Dante Moore is not the perfect quarterback either, but, well, that's going to be a hell of a matchup moving forward. Looks like some of the dark skies have cleared a little bit. The sun trying to peek out behind the San Gabriel Mountain. And you can see Wes Reynolds smiling from here, Tim. You see him up there in section 214?
He's up there. I tell you what, half the stadium has started to empty out. That is not the Indiana side
that is emptying out.
They are fully there. 38-3, the two-minute timeout. And Alabama just jumped off sides on 4th and 4 when they were at the punt. What a joke this game has been.
So I said Alabama coaching staff is going to get taken to the woodshed by the critics after this game, and Kalen DeBoer is not going to last much longer in this job. Tim, he might not last through next season.
38-3, Indiana. Dominant performance. They are headed to the Peach Bowl. That game will take place next Friday night down in Atlanta.
How does that make sense? You win the Rose Bowl in advance to the Peach Bowl?
Yep.
Okay.
So welcome to the college football playoff.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It has gone final in Pasadena, California. Matt, did you lay 7 with Indiana?
I laid 7. I also laid 235 on the money line. And, Tim, that was my biggest bet of 2026.
Well, guess what? You're off to a good start in the new year, Matt. It has gone final. You could have laid 34.5 because Indiana just obliterated Alabama 38-3. The Hoosiers are moving on to take on Oregon in the semifinals of the college football playoff. First bowl win for the Indiana Hoosiers since 1992, and it was a absolute butt-whooping at the hands of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Final numbers, 407 total yards for Indiana. Matt, 193 total yards for Alabama. Indiana, the number one team in the country, they are moving on, and they are the first team, Matt, to win in the new college football playoff. Small sample size, I know, but first team off a bye to get the win. It was 0-6 prior. It is now 1-6.
I'm not going to lie. That made me a little bit nervous last night when you're watching Ohio State lose. And I thought, man, let's see if the same thing happens to Texas Tech tomorrow morning. These byes have been a bad thing for the teams. Too much rest. You could say too much rust, whatever you want to claim. But the byes have definitely been a bad thing for the favorites. And Tim, I wondered if that was going to affect Indiana. But I said, well, Kurt Cignetti's a different animal. And Kirby Smart is kind of a different animal, too. So let's say if somebody's going to break the trend of the byes losing, I think it's going to be Cignetti and Smart, and hopefully it plays out that way because I'm on Georgia, too.
We will get to that here in just a moment, but Kirk Cignetti is currently chatting with reporters, and we've actually got some exclusive Kirk Cignetti sound post-game following the 38-3 win over Alabama.
When it comes to that culture, you were just talking about, you know, meshing the recruits you're getting and some of the guys you kept. Where does that process start? I mean,
what do you mean? I don't get the question.
Well, when you recruit them, you know, how do you sell your vision of your culture? I mean, what's the...
Who are you talking about? The high school guys, the transfers, who?
All of the above. I mean, how do you...
It's pretty simple. I win. Google me.
One of the greatest introductory press conference mic drops in a long time, and guess what? He wasn't wrong. 2 years in Indiana, two appearances in the college football playoff, and they are headed to the semifinals, Matt. 38-3, Indiana win over Alabama, and it sets up a rematch with Oregon next Friday night. And right now, Indiana, a 4.5-point favorite at FanDuel, total 46.5 or 47.5.
Initially, I thought that number might be 2.5 or 3, maybe 3.5 somewhere. But when Indiana delivers a beat down like this to Alabama, that number is going to be a little bit inflated. Tim, this is a spot where I might not be on Indiana against Oregon. I might take the points with the Ducks. I think it's a little bit inflated. I've also got a bet on Indiana to win the national championship at 10-1. I've got Oregon at 8-1, so going to have one of those live no matter what after that game. But, you know, when you beat Alabama by 35, it's understandable in the betting market. Now you're going to get a lot more respect, right? So I think that's why you're seeing this number that a lot of people thought would be 3 is now 4.5, and that's kind of the way that works.
I actually played a little bit of under 47.5. I think that number will come down a little bit. It is a fast track, and Oregon plays up-tempo, but I was impressed by what I saw Oregon defensively. Now, Texas Tech, a lot to be desired offensively today, and makes you put into question a little bit about the level of competition that they faced this year in the Big 12. The defense did all they could for as long as possible, and ultimately the dam just broke, had some turnovers late, and Oregon got a 23-0 win. So, two games in the books earlier today, both the Big Ten teams winning in convincing fashions. Not a bad showing by that conference. We'll talk about the SEC and their showing so far. But guess what, Matt? An SEC team is guaranteed a spot in the SEC or in the semifinals because they're playing each other, and that is our game of the night.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
The Sugar Bowl down in New Orleans, Matt, has the SEC champion Georgia Bulldogs taking on the Ole Miss Rebels. And we have seen a little bit of sharp money come into the market today on Ole Miss. This game was lined 7.5 back on October 18th. Georgia won that game in Athens 43-35. Total was 56.5. And now, Matt, at Circa, Georgia, a 6-point favorite, and the juice is actually on Ole Miss. So the 6.5 got scooped up earlier today. It had been sitting there at 6.5 for a couple of weeks and now sits at 6. I know you and I both have bets on this game. I took a bad number. I took Georgia 6.5. I thought this might get to 7 ultimately, and the market has decided to go with the Pete Golding-coached Ole Miss Rebels in this spot.
Yeah, I laid 6 at the South Point a couple days ago. That was the best number in the market. Now, I'm always paranoid about laying points, Tim. You know, I hate to lay more than 3 points in anything because you get backdoor scores, whatever. Certain things can go wrong, pick 6, special teams blunders, whatever, things you can't handicap. That's why I don't like to lay points. But Indiana obviously covered that very easily, and hopefully the same thing happens with Georgia. I don't expect it to be easy here. Georgia... not quite as good defensively as Indiana, not quite as explosive offensively. But I think the Bulldogs actually have improved dramatically in the second half of the season. You look at Kirby Smart, you wonder why the guy's won a couple of national championships. Now, his team is also very disciplined and efficient. They execute extremely well. Georgia's defense allowed an average of 7.3 points in the last 4 games. Dramatic improvement from that Georgia defense. And Gunnar Stockton, as a quarterback, you know, the more you watch him, Tim, I think the more you like him. I equate him to Brock Purdy. You might not initially love Brock Purdy, but the more you watch him, I think you have to appreciate him, especially if you watch that Sunday night football game between the Bears and the 49ers. With Gunnar Stockton in the late season victories over Alabama and Texas, 7 touchdown passes with 1 pick. He was really good at the end of the year. He's a veteran quarterback now. You got to think that if you're picking who's going to win the national championship, right? Right now you're talking Indiana, Oregon. You got to think Georgia and Miami, mm-hmm. right? Indiana, Oregon, Georgia, Miami. Any of those four teams are capable of winning the whole thing. I don't think Ole Miss is. I think Kirby Smart should have a significant coaching edge over this Ole Miss staff tonight. And this is, Tim, as you know, a rematch of a game played earlier this season that I'd said Georgia was lucky to cover. Georgia probably deserved to win the game, but Georgia was lucky to cover that one. I think this probably will not be as high scoring tonight. What do you think?
So, once again, I laid it with Georgia mm-hmm. here in this spot. And, you know, when you make your case for bets, obviously you kind of cherry pick some things. And I've brought up the fact that I think Georgia in the SEC championship and that game on November 15th against Texas, they were playing exceptional football.
Mm-hmm.
Dominated Texas, dominated Alabama. Now, in the middle of that was a Georgia Tech game where they played terrible. Less than 300 yards of offense. Defense was fine. But what I will say about Georgia early on in this year, Matt, you saw them struggle defensively, struggled against Tennessee. Very fortunate to beat Tennessee. Coming from behind, had a lot of things go their way in order to win that game on the road at Tennessee. This game against Ole Miss in the middle of October was back and forth. Outscored Ole Miss 17-0 in the fourth quarter. But teams get better. And this Georgia team has gotten a lot better.
Okay.
And I think what is maybe being overlooked a little bit, and maybe I'm crazy in pointing this out, Pete Golding is coaching his second game as a head coach mm-hmm. in his life. Kirby Smart is coaching his 138th game as the head coach of Georgia. He's 117-20. He's won multiple national championships. So Pete Golding might end up being a very good coach. But the fact of the matter is, I've got a pretty significant coaching edge, in my opinion, in Kirby Smart versus Pete Golding. And Trinidad Chambliss has been really fun to watch. Is this defense going to be able to take him away, limit Trinidad Chambliss in this game? I think they will. I think Georgia wins. I think they cover this number, Matt, and that's why I'm ultimately on the Georgia Bulldogs here. And like I said, I'm always honest. I laid a bad number. I thought this would get to 7. I laid 6.5. It's now down to 6, but I think Georgia takes care of business. But we'll be watching it live here, and this will be an opportunity to live bet this game if there's opportunities throughout the game.
Georgia with the definitely with the better defense, significant coaching edge here. But one thing to keep an eye on is Bulldogs tend to get off to some slow starts. And Kirby Smart's outstanding when it comes to making adjustments, so let's keep an eye on that tonight too.
Whole lot to get to, but right now, Kirk Cignetti actually has a smile on his face, Matt, as he got a Gatorade bath of rose petals. The Indiana Hoosiers, 38-3 win over Alabama in the Rose Bowl.
How about a Notre Dame offensive lineman transferring to Indiana?
Pat Coogan.
Yep.
Pat Coogan has got some viral pregame speeches that we definitely cannot play on the airwaves. Indiana dominant today.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The Indiana Hoosiers headed to the college football playoff semifinals. They are Rose Bowl champions. Last played in the Rose Bowl in 1967. They did not win that game, Matt Newmans. The only Rose Bowl they had played in school history. They lost 14-3 to USC. Well, it's a new history now, because Indiana is headed to the college football playoff semifinals, and we were talking about it. The MVP of the game was handed out to Pat Coogan, the Notre Dame transfer in the offensive line. And Pat Coogan, I believe, has said that he calls the team a bunch of misfits. You've got G5 transfers. You've got Fernando Mendoza transferring in from Cal. You've got Pat Coogan, who essentially was told, "We think our center's better than you.
Mm-hmm.
You can move on." He got himself a decent payday, and the Misfits and their coach are now the betting favorite to win the national championship. Matt, you grew up in Indiana. Did you ever think you'd see the day that the Indiana Hoosiers would be the betting favorite to win the college football national championship?
No chance. No chance. And obviously, I went to Purdue, so I was not an Indiana fan, but Indiana was the doormat in the Big Ten from football for a long time, Indiana and Northwestern. Gary Barnett revived that Northwestern program in the 90s. Joe Tiller actually went to Purdue and within, I think, 5 years had Purdue in the Rose Bowl for the first time since, what, 1967 or 8, something like that, right after Indiana went. Purdue beat USC 14-13. Tiller took Purdue in 2000, I think, with Drew Brees, 2000 and 2001. But this is the best coaching job I've ever seen, not only in the Big Ten, but in college football. And Brent Musburger agreed with me on that a couple of weeks ago. And that's before Indiana beat Alabama 38-3. So very impressive what's happened here today. And this, you have to kind of throw out your archaic beliefs about how things should work in college sports now, because, Tim, everything has changed.
Sure.
Right? With the NIL, with unlimited – with no salary cap, with unlimited free agency, unrestricted free agency, it's a different world in college sports. It's absolute chaos. And a guy like Kurt Cignetti can go into Indiana within 2 years and build the best team in college football. He took one of the worst teams in college football, has made it one of the best in 2 years' time. It's insane. But let's talk about this rematch coming up with Indiana and Oregon, because the first time these teams played, I thought Indiana dominated the Ducks in the trenches, offensive and defensive line. Tim, Indiana defense allowed 13 points in that game. The Ducks actually scored on a pick six of Fernando Mendoza, and it looked like they were going to make a comeback in that game, and they didn't. Hoosiers won it 30-20, but again, the Indiana defense limiting Oregon to just 13. Very impressed with what happened this morning with Oregon taking down Texas Tech. How about that late score, by the way? That was unnecessary in the last minute. But the Ducks run one in, and they win the game 23-0 today. I did not in any way envision Oregon pitching a shutout against Texas Tech this morning. Did you?
No, I did not. Now, I had I did play a first half under because they have just been cash cows this postseason. Hit again in the Indiana-Alabama game as well. All three playoff games so far, first half has gone under, and all three games have also gone under. So unders have been the way to go so far, not only in the playoffs, but in this postseason. But I actually thought Oregon left a lot to be desired in that game. You know, 23-0, the final score, 6-0 at the half. I thought Dan Lanning, he's an aggressive guy by nature, but he has to feel the game, man. Mm-hmm. And there were moments where you go for it on 4th-and-2 at midfield when you're dominating defensively, flip the field, make Texas Tech do something offensively. So I do wonder if Dan Lanning and the coaching staff clean things up. Tell you one thing, you know who's happy right now, if there are any? Cal Bear fans, because Tosh Lupoy's got himself a pretty damn good defense, and they looked the part, and they were fired up after giving up some late scores to James Madison. Going back to the October 11th game in Eugene, I believe I remember correctly, I think you had Indiana plus the points in that game.
I did.
Oregon closed as a 7-point favorite, total of 51.5. Now, the rest of the market will start to catch up. We'll see if we start to see any movement one way or the other. But the initial line was total 47.5, Indiana minus 4.5. So that's a pretty significant move. Now, it is worth noting, as you pointed out, Indiana dominated that game. The score was a bit misleading because there was a pick six that tied the game up. Indiana scored. They won that game 30-20 after getting the game tied up at 20 apiece. But Matt, has that number move too much? Is that an overreaction to what we just last saw, which was a incredibly dominant performance against, let's call it what it is, a mediocre Alabama team? This is not a very this is not vintage Alabama.
Well,
they may be wearing their vintage helmets, but this is not a Nick Saban Alabama program.
No, I was talking about that a long time ago too, before the SEC championship game. Georgia, I thought Kirby Smart was going to get his revenge on Bama in the SEC championship game, and he did. Tim, that game was 28-7.
Should have been worse.
That was a thorough domination. You're right, the score should have been worse. I think
Kirby took his foot off the gas in that game.
He did. Those who were betting Bama in this game today probably conveniently forgot about that SEC championship game.
The committee did.
probably forgot that Alabama should have lost at Auburn.
They had a gutsy fourth down call.
They got lucky to win that game at Auburn, and Auburn finished 1-7 in the SEC. And that's why I don't want to make too much out of Indiana winning this game big today, because it's not that surprising to me. But this Alabama team is pedestrian. I mean, it's dressed up in the Alabama uniforms and the helmets, and you got all the tradition of the Tide. But, Tim, that's the first loss by Alabama by 35 points since 1998. Looking at that graphic on the screen. 1998. First time since then that Bama's been blown out like this. So, yeah, I think there's going to be a bit of an overreaction in the betting market from what happened today. But you got to remember, man, it's really tough to beat a really good team, especially a really good coaching staff, twice in the same season. And a lot of times when the favorite loses the first game, I like to come back on that team in the rematch. And I talked about that in the Alabama-Oklahoma game before that playoff matchup.
Yep.
And I'll probably be on Oregon in this one, just because I feel like you're getting Indiana at the betting market's peak now as a 4.5-point favorite against Oregon. I expect that number to come down a little bit.
How much would you give Autzen Stadium home field?
I don't know. See, that's sometimes those games are just a little bit different. You'd probably say 4 points,
okay,
right?
So if you're just doing – I'm just doing simple arithmetic here. So October 11th, Oregon closes 7. If you give them 4 points for home field, you're saying on a neutral, Oregon on October 11th was -3.
Right.
Now, January 9th, we're saying that Indiana's -4.5. Now, of course, you have adjustments. Indiana's gotten better. But I think our Oregon has gotten better, too. And defensively, I think they've played exceptionally well here as of late. They're going to get healthier. Is Evan Stewart going to play? Probably not. I mean, if he does, is he going to be effective? Once again, he hasn't played all year, so probably not. But has that move? That's a touchdown. That's a 7.5-point move, essentially, from October 11th to January 9th. Is that movement too much based off of what we've seen over the last 2 months?
I don't think it's too much necessarily. It's like, it might be a little bit too much. I should phrase it that way. It's probably a little bit too much. I still think Indiana should probably be a 3. And if you said 3.5, I could say, okay, I'll go along with that. 4.5 would be a little bit too much. But I think that number is going to come down. I don't expect it to stay there.
By the way,
how many books are showing 4.5 right now?
I know FanDuel did. I'm sure other books are going to start showing them up here, okay, and we'll certainly have that ready. But Todd Furman, who's going to join the show during halftime of the Sugar Bowl, put out just a simplistic tweet. Who you got? Indiana -4.5, Oregon 4.5. Now, you're kind of leading the witness a little bit, because what they just last saw was a 35-point win. Todd's got a bunch of followers on social media, 164,000. He's got 773 votes early on here, Matt, 73% on Indiana. I think it's going to be a pretty popular
That's
play.
Recency bias from what you just watched. When Alabama gets a 35-point beatdown, you're going to have a lot of people say, oh, this Indiana team's really good. Matt Cignetti, he can coach. Yeah, it's been obvious for a long time. By the way, DraftKings is at 4.
Yep.
Westgate Superbook at 4. South Point at 4, so FanDuel's on the high side there with the 4.5 number.
And I took a little under 47.5. Just first blush, I thought that total, based off of what we've seen from these defenses, man, Indiana's defense, they fly, man. They are fundamentally sound. It is damn impressive what you continue to see. A final at the Rose Bowl, all Alabama. Almost slipped there. I'm used to saying all Alabama. All Indiana, 38-3, the final score. Easy winner for Matt. And Georgia and Ole Miss kickoff coming up in about a half hour. We'll dive into that game, some thoughts on it, some prop angles as well. But just a reminder, folks, ProfitX, the number one sports prediction market, has some of the best future pricing you'll find on the College Football National Championship and Super Bowl odds. With a huge holiday slate shaping up playoff seating, now's the perfect time to get in and take advantage of ProfitX's 20% purchase match. Download ProfitX today and experience the future of winning. Use the promo code VSIN to get started. Right now, Georgia, a 6 or 6.5-point favorite. We'll dive into the Sugar Bowl next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Prime Time alongside Matt Humans. I'm Tim Murray, less than 30 minutes away from kickoff in the Sugar Bowl, the final game of the quarterfinal round of the college football playoff. Good start for the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, but we're on to the next, Matt. You can enjoy some wins, but you got to move on. The losses, the wins, whatever it may be, and hopefully we take care of business here with Georgia. But
all you really care about, Tim, is winning the next game.
Absolutely,
right? It's obvious. It's obviously great when you're winning and you're on a streak here in the bowl games, and we cash one with Indiana. But the most important thing right now is not to brag about that; it's to cash a ticket with Georgia.
Yep. And by the way, just got a text from our buddy Chuck Esposito from Red Rock Casino. He said, I asked, is it all Georgia? He said, for the most part, he said, best case scenario is Ole Miss money line and the under. He said, playoffs have been good for us so far. So we will see. Not surprising to hear that the public likes the Georgia Bulldogs. And certainly, as you and I have pointed out, you and I don't like to lay points all that much. You might be even more allergic to laying points than me. But you laid it against with Indiana. That came home easily. And you have laid it with Georgia. Market right now pretty much six here at Circa. Six minus 15 in favor of Georgia. Total, we'll call it 53.5 out there.
You know, we were talking with Mitch Moss about this when he was leaving the studio after the Follow the Money show. And this is a bargain basement money line price on Georgia. Tim, you're talking about...
It was just minus $2. It's now a little bit more expensive.
Right, but the $2 is out there for a while. You could have laid 200 with Georgia, and you talk about a team that was flirting with being a seven-point favorite. That's a bargain price. Seven-point favorites a lot of times around minus $3 favorites on the money line. So I did lay some with Georgia on the money line. I also have Georgia tied up in the money line parlays with Indiana. I bet Indiana on its own, minus seven and minus 235. And I have Indiana, like you said, and Georgia on money line parlays. But I did lay some here with Georgia minus six, too. Not a lot. My bigger bets are tied into the money line just because, like you said, I dislike laying points about as much as I hate vegetables.
which is saying something.
That's a strong statement.
Woo, that's a statement of 2026 right there, Matt. Let's hear a little more analysis on this game from Jacob Hester, former LSU fullback. His thoughts on tonight's Sugar Bowl.
And a couple of reasons why I love Georgia. I think as far as them running the football, I think Nate Frazier is turning into a real star here late in the season. You mentioned Ole Miss on the other side. They're running back Lacy a little banged up, not really sure what he can do. Now, Ole Miss wants to run the football. That's who they are. Don't let the tempo fool you. But also, Georgia's had some time to prepare for that one. No disrespect to the Tulane Green Wave, but Georgia knew who they were playing. They had seen that movie before play out, Ole Miss and Tulane. So they've been preparing for Ole Miss for multiple weeks now. And I caught up with Kirby Smart a couple of days ago, and he said multiple times, at least three times in 2 minutes, how disappointed he was in his defensive effort in that contest. And you know, when Kirby's mad, that's when Georgia plays their best. I just do not see Ole Miss having a ton of success on offense against this Georgia team. And I know what the first game looked like, and I know the total's 55.5. But I love Georgia, and I love it to be the under as well.
Jacob Hester, his insight, likes the under, which the market would agree with, and he does like Georgia. And he mentioned something, Matt, about Kirby Smart being mad. And, you know, we just saw Kirk Cignetti. He's a guy that you just saw him kind of grimacing on the sideline all throughout the game today, raising the eyebrows. I think the facial expressions were making people laugh a little bit. But Kirby Smart and this Georgia team, yes, they beat Ole Miss already this year. And a big reason why you and I liked this team so much in the SEC championship was that revenge factor. So you certainly could say that Ole Miss has a revenge factor. But I think something that's worth noting is that this is the same scenario as last year. Georgia won the SEC championship, got the bye, went to the Sugar Bowl, and lost to Notre Dame 23-10. And you would imagine with extra time to prepare, and something that we've talked about quite a bit, is Kirby Smart with extra time to prepare is pretty advantageous. 28-3 straight up with 10-plus days to prepare. And last year, it was go Gunnar Stockton stepping in at the end of the SEC championship game against Texas when Carson Beck got hurt. It was his first career start against Notre Dame. Now he's a seasoned vet, 12-2 career record as a starter, Matt. And I just like where this Georgia team is at right now. It's not a knock on Ole Miss, but the questions I have about Ole Miss right now are their coaching staff is also spending time preparing for their next job at LSU.
Most of the coaching staff.
Charlie Weiss Jr., a lot of the offensive coaches, a lot of the defense is staying put there in Oxford. And then I go back to the point that I made earlier in the show, which is Pete Golding, game two. Kirby Smart, game 138 as a head coach.
Yeah, that's true. I was trying to think the game I was watching recently where a very inexperienced coach beat one of the best coaches in the business. But I think Kirby Smart's got a significant edge here. Smart's won a couple of national championships for a reason. He's a defensive wizard. Tim, in the last four games, talked about the Georgia defense has allowed 7.3 points and 32 rushing yards over that stretch. And that's why I think it's going to be different. He knows everything in and out about this Ole Miss offense. I don't think there are going to be many surprises here from the Ole Miss offensive coaching staff that Kirby Smart's going to be caught by surprise and say, oh, I didn't see that coming. He's going to have his defense well prepared tonight. And in a rematch situation, I still like Smart to get it done. I don't think it's going to be easy. Like I said, I laid the six, but also got Georgia on the money line. I think it's probably going to be one we have to sweat out. Georgia's got some issues with some troubling slow starts, but hopefully that's not the case tonight. I have a feeling this is going to be a bit more of a grind than you and I want it to be. Probably a little bit more of a sweat, but I think ultimately Georgia will get it done tonight.
Ole Miss, certainly a capable offense. You know, we've seen Trinidad Chambliss, a guy who finished eighth in the Heisman Trophy. Kawan Lacy, you could argue, one of the best running backs, if not the best running back, however you want to rank him. I mean, he's up there, top three running back in college football, held to 33 yards in the game they played on October 18th. It is worth noting, let's go back to some of the bets that were dished out in the Circa Friday Football Invitational. We've got Kenny White, the Wizard of Odds. He is on Ole Miss here, Matt. But also, we have Frank Carulli. His best bet is on Georgia. And then we've got the dynamic duo also on Georgia as well.
Yeah, Carl Sack and Edwin Meyer laying the 6.5 with Georgia, as is Frank Carulli. So you got two on Georgia, one on Ole Miss. Kenny White's been hot on college football. We'll say on the Friday night show, Kenny White's going to join me tomorrow night, and Carl Sack will be on there as well. Also, Chris the Bear Felica, Scott Pritchard, Matt St. Marie. We got a stacked show on Friday night for the Circa Friday Football Invitational. Chris Massaro in the lead over the Bear as we head down the stretch here, the final 2.5 weeks.
The Bear, 5-1-1 week, as he had Miami as his best bet, and he had Oregon also today as well. So a good, strong week for Chris the Bear Felica to put a little pressure on the madman, Chris Massaro, but Massaro will have the lead going into this next week, Matt. So Massaro, 72.5 points. His best bet was Texas Tech. So he and the Bear were going head-to-head there, and the Bear picks up a little bit of ground. So this is not updated as of today's results, but you'll get both Massaro and Felica tomorrow on the show?
No, Massaro's been on the last couple weeks, okay. So giving him a break this week. But the Bear will be on tomorrow night. He's trying to run down Chris Massaro, and both those guys have done an outstanding job throughout the contest. Felica won this contest the inaugural year in 2022 and trying to be the first repeat champion. It's going to be really interesting here down the stretch. Kenny White trying to make a charge. Scott Pritchard trying to make a charge. Those guys will be on the show tomorrow night as well.
Take a look at some of the props. We just got word. No Derek Stevens tonight. He's got family in town. His dad just turned 90, so they are celebrating.
That guy looks great for 90.
He does.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He's 90?
Yeah.
If you told me he was 80, I would have said he looks...
I thought he looked good for... Yeah, he looked good for 80. So Derek and his family enjoying themselves. But we'll catch up with Derek. I imagine he'll be on with you tomorrow, as he always is, on the Circa Friday Football Invitational. And we'll certainly catch up with Derek next week as well. But we got one more game to go tonight. We will be watching it like it's Thursday Night Football, Georgia and Ole Miss. We'll dive into some of the props as well on the other side. But as you all know, You celebrated the new year last night, but we've got our new year special still going on here at VSiN. This is the final week to save 50% off a regular monthly price with our holiday special. You could sign up now, get VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79, including daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Plus, you can check out what we had to offer in the college football playoff guide, vsin.com/subscribe. Ole Miss and Georgia wrapping up three quarterfinals of the college football playoff kickoff 15 minutes away.